creation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 120. The stanzas 3 and 4. Light and truth my way attending, send thou forth to be my guide. 3 and 4, 120. The Holy Scriptures can be found in the second chapter of the letter of Paul to the Romans, starting at verse 11 through the end. Romans 2, verse 11 through the end, where we read this word, God's word thus, but before we listen to the holy law of God.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Romans chapter 2, starting at verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art the guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth, but if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keeps the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Till so far.
Let's seek to face the Lord in prayer. Lord, it's a hard portion. It condemns us on every side. Not having the law or having the law. We all are will and will be judged concerning our inner thoughts, our desires, sinful lusts, trespasses. They are desires. We try sometimes to deceive thee by outward so-called fulfillment, but thou art looking to the heart, our hearts. And who can stand this morning and say, and I'm righteous, my heart is not condemning me? Then only those who are sheltered in thee, O Lord Jesus, covered by thy righteousness, washed by thy blood, trusting in thy word. Those who are circumcised in their hearts, not boasting in law and man, but boasting in thee, O dear Savior and fulfiller of the law, the Prince of Peace is thy name, and I give thee honor that only thy peace can be our peace, can satisfy all the demands of the law. We always seek all kinds of escapes, many tricks, but we know by conscience that thou art our judge, and that we can't outside of Christ not stand before thee. Therefore have mercy upon our youth. Convict them of sin because they didn't believe. Trust in themselves, not in thee. But not only our youth, also our older people, and those who stayed home because they are too old to go. The weak and the poor, the meek, and those or under the law, and don't know how to escape that judgment, might be in severe anguish. Give them peace in thee, please, that satisfying work of thy Son may be applied to their hearts, that finished work may glorify thee. Remember us this week when we have several times Reformation remembrance occasions, the homeschoolers, probably the schools too. Which school does matter? But that we not only know that there was a Reformation, that thou would give us a new Reformation, turning us away from sin, turning us unto thee in thy Son, newly, We see in the world a depth of sin, murdering people because they are Jews or Christians. Does it all go again, Lord? Is it a time of judgment? Is it a time that Thou would forsake us again? Don't, Lord, don't, please. Revive us instead. We pray for the sick and afflicted, those who couldn't come today because they're old or weak, or in institutions or old age homes. We pray for the church worldwide, where they are persecuted for their name's sake. We pray for the work of Quebec, the Quebec mission. We pray that there might be prayers, especially today when the attacks are renewed. And the preaching of sovereign grace also in our church in the Netherlands, please. Give us students to preach Thee and Thy righteousness, and help the professors, and give us to lean upon Thee. We didn't seek to leave, but we were left alone for some reasons that we couldn't accept what the church accepted: homosexual issues and doctrines that are not conform to the scriptures. We pray that Thou will restore the church, please. And that we are not better. And that we can divide and divide and divide, and it doesn't make the church any better. We need to be born again to shelter as a condemned sinner by faith in thy dear Son. Open the scriptures, please, Lord. Give us understanding in hearing and in preaching, and make us a means in thy godly ends for thy own glory. Remember the government here, and we had elections, please. Remember our people that are in charge of the villages and cities in which we live. Bless them and make them a blessing. Lord, Thou art the King of Kings, and Thou can mold the hearts of every king for Thy own purpose, we know. August had to give that law to bring Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem for Thy purpose and glory, for the fulfillment of Thy word, for Thou art in control in the whole world. Let us rest in Thee, in Christ. Open the scriptures, please, we beg again, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, in this portion of scriptures, and I'm not saying it's easy, but in this portion of scriptures, in the first place, the Holy Spirit, by the mouth and the hearts and the pen of Paul, teaches us which obedience is required. It speaks in the first place about the heathens. God doesn't make any difference between persons for there is no respect of persons with God. If a heathen, let's make it plain immediately, if a heathen perfectly obeys the law, he is the same as a Jew if he does. God doesn't say to the Jews, you don't need to be so narrow because you're a child of the covenant of grace. No. Every person since fallen paradise needs perfect obedience. Not only by acts, but also by words, but especially by thoughts, by our hearts. God looks to my heart. We try to deceive each other by outward performance, but we can deceive God. He knows our hearts, our thoughts. That's first place. And it has no use having a law. The Jews were boasting that they had the law. But Paul says, you might have the law, but if you don't obey the law, then you make the whole religion laughable. And God is dishonored. You might teach the pure doctrines, but if you don't obey the law perfectly, the law condemns you. You might be a Jew teaching the law to the heathens as a blind to the blind. But God requires perfect obedience. And if not, the same law you teach condemns you. Yeah, but we have the circumcision, we are children of Abraham and children. Even the circumcision asks perfect obedience concerning the law. And I'm extending it to baptism. Even baptism asked perfect obedience. I read the form, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished and obliged into new obedience. Namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in Him, that we love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our mind. Who loves God with all his heart, all his soul, and all his mind? No one than Christ. Even baptism requires full obedience to the law is a fruit. With all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. That's the demand of baptism. It's a fruit of grace, but who can say that he has in himself by the law a holy life? By the law, not in Christ only. He is my righteousness, my sanctification, and my wisdom. Then I walk by faith and not by seeing, not by doing, but by believing. By believing as a gift in Christ Jesus. Now we've come to it. But let's first think 38, 1 through 4, and then there will be the collection for the church and for Quebec. For there is no respect of persons with God. In congregation, when Paul writes this down, you have to understand that he means concerning the law. Concerning grace, there is respect of persons. For God loved Jacob and hated Esau. So enemies of election always use this text against election. And they say, it's clear here that Bible says there is no respect of persons. But you have always to look to the scope, to the purpose of the text. There is no respect of persons concerning the law. But God makes a difference by election between his people and the reprobate. The Bible is clear. Otherwise you couldn't even understand the Old Testament. That God separates a people, the Jews, from the heathens to reveal the truth. How can you even understand the Old Testament if you don't acknowledge that God makes concerning grace a difference? But not concerning the law. Every people, every man, every woman, every child needs perfect obedience. Jew and heathen. Well, Paul continues and said, for as many have sinned without the law, that are the heathens, they don't have the word of God nor the law. Shall also perish without law, because they trespassed also the law. And as many have sinned in the law, having the law, knowing the law, the word of God, shall be judged by the law if they trespass. So there is no respect of persons concerning the law. God made us righteous and he requires righteousness by act, mouth, and heart. And it will be shown to us in the day when we meet the judge of heaven and earth. Don't take it light, please. And then he goes to the Jews. We have dealt last week with the heathens. They have the law in their conscience, in their hearts, and Paul comes to it. We call it a natural law. The heathen sacrifice. The heathen condemns adultery. They fight for their marriage. They kill even a person if he is an adulterer. Although they don't have the law, they have the law inside, in the heart, in the conscience. What's a conscience? We know God is the judge, and we know what's good and evil. If you do good, there is a pleasure, a delight. And if you don't do good, you feel the judgment. You know, a heathen said, my conscience bothered is worse than 1,000 witnesses in court against me. If God in my conscience bothers me, it's more than 1,000 witnesses in the courtroom against me. That's a terror, if you have sinned. That's a terror. And if you have never felt the terror, Paul says, I know the terror. Later on, he says. In Corinthians, the 5th chapter, he deals with it. For not the hearers of the law, now he comes to the Jews. The Jews couldn't all read. Most, many. But they were always hearing the law. In the synagogue, in the temple, in the house, by the priests. But not by hearing the law you are just before God. But by doing the law you're just before God. You might have heard the law 50, 60, 70 years, 20 years, but by hearing the law, you're not just before God, you need to do the law. Me too, me, we. He says, and Gentiles, he supposes it, can do the law. And if they could do it perfectly, Gentiles, because of their conscience, if they could perfectly obey to the law, they will be righteous and called circumcision, called a Jew. He says later. And they do it by nature. For when the Gentiles, if the Gentiles supposedly would obey the law perfectly, then you have a law and are a law unto themselves. Pastor, it's difficult. Yeah, I know it's difficult. But let's make it plain. Clear. If a Gentile perfectly obeys the law, he has peace with God. Like a Jew or a Christian, we all need to perfectly obey the law. Then we have peace with God. For the law is testifying against us. But the inner law, the natural law, the conscience is testifying against us too. And heathens have the law inside. They are judged by their hearts. Now I come to the point of Paul. We don't need to obey the law only by outward performance. We need inwardly to be conformed to the law. Have not a desire to sin even. Have you ever heard it? That Paul says the law is spiritual. He is a judge of the hearts, of the desires, of my heart and my desires. And I have to be conformed to the law. Like the law. Righteous, holy, wise. So God made us in paradise. And God doesn't give up his righteousness because of sin. He still made us righteous when we left, and he keeps his righteousness as a command to us all. Not by acts only. That's easy. But he keeps us to the law by our inward being. And you know it. If you have a sinful desire, boom, 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 boom. No? God judges my heart. Your heart. And if they would do the law of the heathens, they will show the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts, the means which accusing or else excusing one another. What does still the conscience do? It accuses or excuses. Your heart, your thoughts. My thoughts, my desires. Now why I say this, the Jews taught that only by acts you're righteous or not righteous. But Paul says, I didn't know that coveting was sin. And he understood that the law is spiritual. It deals with my sinful desires, my high-mindedness. My enmity against God, you. You might say it, but in your heart, by nature, by default. And therefore, when Samuel had to anoint a new king, he was looking to Eliab, the oldest. He said, that's a fair and nice man, and he should be it. There was a forgotten son, ready, David, who had the righteousness of faith, and God knew him from eternity. For Samuel said to Jesse, God looks to the heart and not to what we see or do. And he anointed David, the man after the heart of God, giving grace to him in Christ by faith. And my dear congregation, be honest, who can escape then? Who can escape then? Who could escape this very morning? When God would judge your heart, not desire going to church, not the no, not too long preaching past, but well, that man in church shouldn't sit there. No, you don't know how he is. No. I've sometimes said that if you would know my heart, you would probably not allow me to preach. But I have immediately to say that God covered my sin by the righteousness of Jesus. Loved me from eternity. Now I'm witnessing. Sure I am. But if I would lay all my sins of heart on this pulpit, probably you would run out. No, some would stay here. Some would stay here and say, I'm worse. We all need grace. You need grace. In the day when God will judge, oh, the secrets of man, which no one knows than I and God. Do you have such secrets? I have such secrets. No one knows than God and me. Do you have such secrets? But God will make them plain and open them up. Your hidden sins in the face of God. I tried to reform myself when convicted. And I left out my big sins until the day that God showed my heart as a well of dirty sins. And reformation stopped. I need to need a new heart. Create in me a new heart, O Lord, for I am born in sin, and evil is my way. I would like you to have this very morning, stop reformation yourself. Ask for the reformation and grace of God. Surrender your evil heart by grace. That God may... Luther says God robs the sin of his people. He says, I dare mine and I'm covering my righteousness on their souls. Then he goes to the Jews, especially, and he says, you're a Jew. It's remarkable that he calls them Jew. Do you know what Jew means? Judah. God lover, God praiser. They said, the Jews said that they praised God, loved God, Judah. A God lover or a God praiser. That's the word. Therefore, on the cross, and our spiritual understood, the Lord Jesus was called the King of the God praisers. Yes, by grace, not by the law. By the fulfillment of the law by the Lord Jesus, where he crushed the head of the serpent, the Satan. He says, but the Jews have the law and they rest in having the law. He says, we have the truth. Many people today in churches say, we have the truth. And we can say it even here, sitting here. And I can say it. May say it, might say it. Doesn't know what to say about it. And makes a boast of God and says, we have, he is our God. We have the truth, and God is our God. We are the right church, having the truth, and God is our God. That's what the Jews did. What the Catholics did, what the Roman Catholics did. What all kinds of churches do. We have the truth, and God is our God. Is that wrong, ladies? Listen. And he says the Jews know the will of God. They have the truth. And agrees with the things that are more excellent being instructed out of the law. They know it better than the heathens. By the revelation of the law of God. The word of God. The Torah. The five books of Moses. You might have that knowledge. What God requires. You might say, I have the truth and God is our God. The Jews do, he says. And you think that you can teach the truth to others. being a guide of the blind. Like the Jews, the Pharisees made proselytes from city to city, teaching the law. You think that you're a light to the heathens, those who are in darkness. Now, congregation, what I'm saying here is, you might have a true knowledge of the truth. You might even teach the truth. You might have an assurance of the truth, even. Like it's in the Word of God. You might even be a teacher on a pulpit of the truth of the Bible, like the Jews were. That you are an instructor of the fools. They're all fools, but I know the truth. I'm teaching the truth. You might be a father in your family doing it. A teacher on the pulpit, an elder in the church. A teacher of babes. Ah, what do they know? Babes. Little children. But if you teach others, do you teach yourself? If you teach the law what to do, do you teach yourself? If you preach that a man shouldn't steal, do you steal yourself? Have you stolen yourself? Or do you steal yourself? Asking too much for your business with yourself. Taking usury too much of interest. Stealing what doesn't belong to you. Now I come back to that story of that catechism class, and let's say it again, because that's exactly what's going on. Thou shalt not steal. What did you hear? We shouldn't steal. The Jews said we shouldn't steal. You might teach the truth, you shouldn't steal. But is there conviction in your life that you have stolen? That's the case. Have you stolen when you were young, out of the wallet of your mother? Of the time of your boss? Or the other things which belong to other men? And he said to the Jews, you teach, you shouldn't commit adultery. But do you know what the Jews did? They took the law and committed adultery. Moses had said, because of the hardness of your heart, you can write a letter of divorce. And do you know what they did? They didn't like their wives anymore and wrote a letter of divorce. Do you know why they didn't like the wives anymore? Because they couldn't cook. And they found a young girl, so they divorced, according to Moses the law, but took a young girl to be their wives. They committed adultery by the law. Therefore the Lord Jesus always teaches the Jews, don't commit adultery. And I believe even the mothers with the children were left alone by their husbands And Christ says, let him come to me. I will be your husband. If you preach that you should not, that you should abhor idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Now, what sacrilege? Do you know that the Jews believed that the temple was holy? Do you know what Stephanus said? No. God doesn't live in temple was made with man. He lives in... The Jews believed that you could sin against the temple. That's what they said to the Lord Jesus. He said, he says, in 3 days I'll break it down, in 3 days I will build it up. They make of the means holy things, and of the persons holy saints. They took the sanctity of God and gave it to man. Even we do it today. If we say, that minister is a pope, that's a good man. No, there is no good man. There's only one good, that's God. Do you know what we do? If we don't see the Lord, then we start worshipping Moses. And if Moses isn't there anymore, we make an idol. And we shouldn't. Do you know who is your boss, says the Bible? Who is your servant? Don't call them masters, but servants. God is your glorious God. Now we have the church. Oh, what a beautiful pastor we have. You know, first they hated Paul and Peter, but when they had healing, done in healing, they worshipped him and wanted to bring him a sacrifice. That's in the church today. One is your master. One is your master. You're all servants. And the lowest is the highest. Oh, congregation, it testifies against me and you. The law says, you say you shouldn't worship idols, but you worship idols. Sacrilege, we call it. That minister that's passed along, they all sacrifice him and glorify him. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. One is your master. One should be honored and glorified. Let's sing. 63 through 5. 63 through 5. Show me thy path, O Lord. Teach me thy perfect way. 3 through 5. 60. and therefore God's name is blasphemed. You who teach us to be perfect, and if you fall in sin, and even defend sin, God is blasphemed. They say they teach it and don't do it. That's blasphemous. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it's written. Not a last thing. Yeah, but I'm circumcised, I'm belonging to the covenant of grace. That makes the difference. I'm a child of Abraham. I have never served someone. I'm free by circumcision or by baptism. Now I'm free. But circumcision profiteth only if you keep the law. Look into the law. Now we go to Genesis 17. In Genesis 17, God had given Abram grace to trust in his righteousness, and he believed. 15. Then 17 comes. And the Lord says to Abram, walk before my faith and be perfect. If you walk in the presence of God, you need to be perfect. And then he gave a sign of that covenant, circumcision. So circumcision testifies that you need to be perfect. And if you take it by law like the Jews did, then you have to fulfill all the demands of the law. But what circumcision? Romans 4:11. Circumcision is the sign of the righteousness of faith, of the righteousness of Christ given to me. He fulfilled the law for me, given by the Father to be reconciled to God. And in him I walk perfect by faith, not by seeing, not by feeling. And faith is a paradox. Have you heard about that word, paradox? I'm righteous and a sinner, both. But the righteousness of Christ covers my sinless, my sinning. And therefore, congregation, if we don't preach the law to the end, there is no gospel preached. There are people preaching Christ, but they never preach the law, and therefore they don't preach Christ. For Christ is the judge according to the gospel of Paul. If Christ is the judge, then he first convicts us before he covers us. And if you go to a different gospel, go. But that's not biblical. That's not biblical. For circumcision or baptism doesn't help you. The circumcision of your heart. How is your heart circumcised? By the sword of the law. Pricked in the hearts. What shall we do, man and brethren? It's done. We have sinned. There is no hope for us. Believe in the Lord. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus. And your sins will be forgiven you. That's grace. So if you say, I have done this and that, I close my ears because I don't believe you for a syllable. If you say, I am so faithful, go under the rock. Don't lie, you're not. If you say, I'm baptized and now I'm all over it. No. Even baptism says that you have to have a new obedience. Perfectly obeying. Do you? No, you don't. Therefore, Paul says later, walk by faith. Think that your old body died and walk in Christ by faith. That's different. And I can teach you. I can teach you. It's experience. It's experience. How to tell for you? I can just good translate it. Keep it that you're death to sin, living in Christ. Believe it. That your sins are not commemorated before God anymore. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Walk by faith. That's pleasing God. But if you look to the law, you have to choose the best church, the best minister, the best truth. But you don't teach yourself that you're a condemned sinner, and therefore there is no need of Christ. That's what it is. You might teach the truth, you might have a good church. But if you've never been condemned by law, you'll never be a Christian. Covered by Jesus. For he seeks the ruined and the lost. And sorry, we live in a time and age that Christ is preached somewhere and everywhere. But they made themselves saints. I heard a sermon and he says, we need to be more holy. Ah, I said, man, you don't even know what you're speaking about. Sanctification is not me to do it, but the grace of God working in me. Willing and working. And if you put them again under the law, do it. But they are lost. The wrath of God is again put in their souls. Now, Pastor, you're preaching a bit too strong today. No, I'm not. Your souls are for a little while in my hands. God has given you to listen. But wait a moment. There comes a day when I have preached the gospel to you for sinners, condemned sinners. And you're outside of Christ. I will judge you on the day of judgment. For your blood will be upon your own head. But if you ride along, by doing and leaving, by going and not going, think you can please God, you're the biggest fool of the whole world. The biggest fool of the whole world. Foolishness, says Paul. And your boast is not in God, but in man. You know what's grace? If God pierces your heart and Christ is revealed to your soul, your boasting is in God, who loved you from eternity and gave his Son to be revealed to your soul as your only righteousness that can stand in the judgment day of God. Yeah, Pastor, I have a little bit of it. Shh! Nonsense. Nonsense. You have it all or you have nothing. He is your all or he is your nothing. He has made your all when you were a nothing. And when he is an all, you are more a nothing even. For he is an all in all. That's the communion of saints. Isn't he your all? Yeah. And you're his nothing, is it? You're his nothing. Where he seeks the weak, the feeble, the meek, and the ruined and lost sinners here in Springfield. And I hope you may all be it. For Christ will find you where he is. He will find you where he is. He will take you on his shoulders and say, I'm bringing you home. You don't need to walk anymore. Rest on my walking. rest on my shoulders, rest on my strength, and believe that I'll do it and have done it. But if you think baptism is it, Luther says, but you have to understand it. He says, Luther says, baptism is a sign. It means it's the visible preaching of the gospel. Baptism is the visible preaching of the gospel. And then says Luther, if you believe in baptism, listen, not believe in that you're baptized, but if you believe in the visible sign of the gospel, then you're saved. If you believe that you died in him and are raised by him, died by the law, raised by grace, then you're saved, dear. People say you need baptism to be saved. Nonsense. Paul says, if you don't believe, you're lost. But baptism is a sign to strengthen. It's a sign to teach you the gospel when you're a child. And it's a seal when the Holy Ghost, by faith, has applied it to your heart. It seals your salvation. You might be baptized as a child, but if that day comes that God pierces your heart and gives you Christ, baptism seals your faith. And therefore they say, if you believe and baptize, they make it a chronological order. It has nothing to do with it. For the next phrase says, if you don't believe, you're lost. So it has nothing to do with it. Children in the Old Testament received the sign and seal of circumcision. Now we have in our circles again, around us, people who say, if you're not baptized, you're not saved. What a nonsense! What a nonsense! Baptism doesn't bring you. You need to have the matter of baptism piercing your heart, believing in Christ. That's the matter. Dying and raising. And then baptism, God's a seal to you, certifies you. You say, oh, what a wonder. Now I understand why I'm baptized. And therefore, Luther in his study, I have to stop, but Luther in his study had a Latin expression, big lattice, baptismo sum. I'm baptized, he said. When I didn't look for God, he already looked for me and made a promise of the gospel shown to my children's heart. And I didn't understand it, but he gave me to understand it. For unto you is the promise, and your children, and your children, and your children. And if one of the parents is a believer, the wife is sanctified, and the children. And I've said that the proselytes, when they became Jews, and I believe the baptism is descending from the baptism of the proselytes, mothers and children were also baptized. Don't tell me it's not true. You don't know church history. Why are you so strong today? Because there are people coming in today with strange doctrines. They even refute that child baptism. That's anabaptism. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Do you hate Baptists? I don't. I believe John Bunyan was a Christian. I believe so. But I'm standing for the oneness of covenant. Like in the Old Testament, circumcision was a bloody sign. In the New Testament, it's not bloody again, it's water. Because the blood of Christ is poured out. Secondly, Passover was in the Old Testament a sacrifice, and it was a bloody Passover. The lamb was slaughtered. But in the New Testament, it's not bloody anymore. It's bread and water. It's the heavenly bread, and blood is poured out at the cross, being washed in his precious blood. Next week, preparation for the Lord's Supper. No blood. The blood is poured out already. Wine and water. Blood and the Spirit. Blood and the Spirit is the matter of these things. Congregation, you might boast in circumcision in church, but if you really are just relying on circumcision and not on the matter of circumcision, the forgiveness of sin and the righteousness of faith, you take it by the law. And if you are only again circumcised, bloody, you deny the circumcision of Christ, you deny the sacrifice of Christ, and you have to fulfill the law yourself. But I don't need it anymore. The blood is poured out and washed, and the Spirit is indwelling his people to teach them Christ and his righteousness is the only source and matter of truth. Why are you so strong this morning? You're all under the law unless Christ has been your law, your holiness and sanctification, your wisdom of God. By eternal grace and sovereign mercy, God makes a difference. Not under the law, we're all obliged, but under grace. Under grace. Under grace. Under grace. Under grace. Oh, that Christ might cover it all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Lord, I know people might be disturbed this morning, I hope so, that they are brought for the judgment seat of Christ this morning and the preaching, given up all endeavors, accepting judgment, condemned by the law, to repent and believe. Oh, that thou mightest give it. Make us strong in the law, that we won't give up any command, any perfect obedience. For thou hast made us righteous, but we have found many excuses. There is no excuse. We are rotten to the core. Cover us, please, Lord, and created us a new heart. Indwelled by thy Spirit, washed by thy blood, covered with the white robes of thy only righteousness. We pray it for the children, remember them at Sunday school, and I know it might be having been difficult, but they know their hearts, and they know they have a sinful heart. Lord, forgive their sins, and that they might, by a true faith, trust in the Lord Jesus alone. Amen. Let's sing 444, 6 and 7. I'm late already, so we do only 7, Martha. 444, the 7th stanza. Jehovah mercies floweth like a river. Now watch follow. that you may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God. The love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.